All right. And then I saw the little news blurb, because, you know, if you have any type of home page or whatever, they show the Pope and how he's captivated the whole nation because he stopped his limo, got out with his armed bodyguards, and went and kissed a kid who had cerebral palsy. Wow. He's just like Jesus. Wow. And it wasn't planned. He just did it on the spur of the moment. Wow. Really amazed. And how many people are going to be falling all over that one? I didn't see the kid rise out of the chair, though. And for a man who claims apostolic succession for Peter, he really doesn't have much, does he? Not until he gets filled with Satan. What? Well, I mean more filled with Satan. I tell you. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. It doesn't bode well having that man come to this country and speak to our Congress, having our Congress and our leaders fall all over him. Whatever else is going on behind the scenes, it does not bode well for this country. If I was a parent, I would not want the Pope kissing my kid. I wouldn't want the curse on my kid. Kid's probably, I bet you check in another couple months, he'll probably be sicker than what he is right now. But anyway, another note. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'm teaching on 1 Thessalonians up in St. Cloud now for Sunday school, and as I was going through it, this verse here in verse 3, it caught my eye, and then I went on from there, and we'll see what we have for you tonight. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. Actually, let's start in verse 2. Paul writes, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for this book, for what you show us out of it, for what you show us about the future, and what you've showed us about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, the salvation that we can have full and free through him. And also, you tell us how to live, Lord. And I thank you for that, because we're helpless. We don't know what to do without you telling us. You're our creator, and you've made us a new creature in Christ, and you've told us things to do. I pray that you'd be with me here, fill me with your spirit, and I pray that you'd help me, Lord, to get across what you have here tonight. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. And here, you read this verse. It says, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope." And as you read through that, and as I started going to other scriptures, I started seeing that there was this pattern. And, of course, this pattern that I've seen in different ways that's like this verse is by no means exhaustive tonight. I mean, you can do your own study and take it from there. But this work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope is, in a lot of ways, what we need. It's kind of like what I'd like to call the threefold combo of the Christian walk. You have the work of faith, the labor of love, and the patience of hope, and they're all connected. And if one of them is weak, I was going to be preaching on that, but this is what I went to because you already did it this morning. That always happens. So, but here, you see this throughout the scriptures, this work of faith, this labor of love, and patience of hope. And these are three, I guess you can call them pillars, or three areas in the Christian walk that if you have each of these areas strong in your Christian walk, I mean, you will be doing well. You will be doing well. This work of faith here, of course, you know, salvation is not by works. In this day and age, you know, it's not happening. That's not what it's talking about here. What it's talking about is the Thessalonians received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They received the truth. And this work of faith comes out of that. Faith works. If you have the right kind of faith, you know, works will follow. And that's not to say that Christians sometimes don't have the right works. And I'm not going to get into, you know, the book of James tonight either, because that's a whole other realm altogether. But this work of faith, in order to even have a Christian walk, you have to have a place in your life where you exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, as full payment for your sins. Otherwise, it doesn't matter what you labor in, it doesn't matter what you're patient in, or what you say you're patient in, it does not matter. Last week, we were at the house of a Catholic lady, and I was talking to her about, you know, when I got saved, and asked her if she was born again, and she said, well, I've been born again and again and again and again and again. Of course, you've heard that before. If you've ever done any door work for any period of time, there are people, oh, I've been born again and again and again. Wow, really? And I just said, well, that's not Bible. You need to be born again once by faith. And she said, well, as a Catholic, I said, well, I used to be Catholic, and then I became a born-again Christian, according to the Bible. That's what I said. And then, of course, she throws in, well, where do you think you got the Bible? And then I said, well, the Catholic Church, of course, and then I bowed down to her and everything else. Well, that's what they want, you know, because it doesn't matter who it is. They want you to bow down to either their or their church's authority. This is not faith. This is not the right kind of faith. This is not the work of faith. If I was a Catholic and I was reading this, I mean, you know, that's what I would be putting into it. I'd be putting in, oh yeah, works, 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 labor, 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 you know, patience and suffering and all that. But that's not salvation. And that's not what Paul is talking about here with the Thessalonians. What's interesting is if you go to Habakkuk 2:4, it says that the just shall live by his faith. And then Paul writes over in Romans 1, well, the just shall live by faith. Well, that's different. And you have to say, well, who is Paul that he could change and take away from the Word of God? Well, Paul happened to be, led by the Holy Spirit to speak those words, and it was the Holy Spirit who changed it. The sad thing is, these people that want you to bow down to their church's authority or their scholarly authority, they do the same thing. Because, you know, I know why? They want you to think that they're full of the Holy Spirit, and that's where they get it. This is not the work of faith. This is not the work of faith. Look over here in verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven. And there you have it again. You have the work of faith, turn to God from idols. You have to serve the living and true God, the labor of love, and to wait for his Son from heaven, this patience of hope. Part of the work of faith is having a repentant faith. A repentant faith is one that when a person gets saved, they turn to God from something. They don't keep, you know, it's not like the Hindu religion where they just throw up a, you know, Jesus Christ with, you know, whatever other God that's up there. Oh, I believe in Jesus, but I also believe in Shiva and this and that and the other. It's not like the Catholic faith that has Mary and the saints. This is idolatry. And I don't understand a person. When I got saved, I didn't know much. I didn't see a lot of problems with the Catholic Church. I know. You can't believe that, can you? But one thing I did see, I wasn't told about how to be born again. I knew about Mary. I prayed to her at least once every 10 years. I was very faithful. The verse that got me going on salvation was there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And that's what got me going. Well, you know, I was taught there was many mediators. oh, you know, there's Mary, there's, Saint Joseph, and then there's Saint Anthony, because if you lost your keys, you could pray to Saint Anthony and Saint Jude to make sure the hospital is okay, and then this and that and the other. But those are idols. And when a person gets saved, a repentant face turns to God from those things. But idolatry isn't just statues. Idolatry could be covetousness. You know, covetousness, the Bible says, is idolatry. You could be somebody that's not religious at all and yet is just loves money. And, you know, it's kind of like the rich man. Jesus said, well, you know, go sell all that you have and come follow me. Oh, I really can't do that because I kind of like my stuff, you know. But a repentant faith, it's not that when a person gets saved, they're going to repent of everything they've ever done. Because I guarantee you're not even going to remember or think of everything you've ever done. You don't even want to go there. But a repentant faith is a faith that is willing, I'm turning to God and I'm turning from these things. And usually when a person gets saved, God's dealing with them with something. You know, it could be drugs, it could be drinking, it could be any number of things. It could be bowing down to Mary. But the type of faith that Paul is talking about here in the work of faith is the type of faith that turns to God from idols. If you don't have that type of faith, then, you know, and I'm not saying you're not saved. What I am saying is, in the Christian walk, you know, a person gets saved, and then God starts dealing with them about things. And this type of faith has to be there at every day of your life. The type of faith that says, God says, okay, now I'm dealing with you on this. Okay, I'm willing to turn to you from that. That's the work of faith. And then you have Galatians 2:20. The Bible says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Now, this is, of course, you live by faith in Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ lives inside of you, and the Christian life is to allow Him to work through you and actually live by His faith. And His faith is better than your faith. I can guarantee you that. This is a good work of faith that you can build a foundation on in your Christian walk. In Galatians 3, verse 2, it says, this only what I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Well, you received the Spirit of God by the hearing of faith. And over here, and you don't have to go here, but in John chapter 6, verse 29, Jesus said, because they're asking, well, what do we do to work the works of God? Well, this is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He has sent. So there is an aspect, I'm not saying that faith is works, but you know what? In the Christian life, there is an aspect of faith that's work. Well, you know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You will build up your faith by coming and hearing the Word of God preach. You will build up your faith by reading the Word of God. You will build up your faith by studying the Word of God. You know, that's work. But faith comes from that. And this is the work of faith that the Thessalonians had. Let's go to Titus, and then we can maybe move on to. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to do this sermon, so it's going to be kind of maybe different, maybe not. I don't know. But I only have really 3 points in this sermon. It's just going to be repeated many times. So hopefully, you know, I don't have 7. So hopefully, I'll be done by 9 o'clock. So anyway, in Titus chapter 2, look at this, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, here you have, in essence, verse 11, a work of faith. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And without the grace of God, your faith would mean nothing. And then it moves on into the labor of love. This grace of God and this, and also, like I said, this work of faith and the labor of love and the patient hope, they all work together. It all works together. Verse 12 again, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. There's a labor for you. You deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. And we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And then here is the patience of hope. So you got the work of faith, the labor of love, and the patience of hope here, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's kind of neat because as I was going through the Bible, and, you know, it doesn't fit word for word, but there is a pattern there with the work of faith, the labor of love, and patience of hope. 1 Thessalonians is a really good book. It's most likely, it's one of the first books that were written. I don't want to go into the dating, but it is, I believe, probably one of the first books written to the Gentile church. And it's a good book for new believers, but it's also a good book for older believers or believers that have been saved for a while. But this work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope, it's important in your Christian walk. And, you know, a threefold cord is not easily broken. Going to the labor of love. You have a labor of love. And you go back over here to verse 9, again at the end of the verse, how you turn to God from idols, work of faith, and to serve the living and true God. This is a labor of love. I don't think anybody knows what true love is until they've come to the cross of Calvary, until they realize what their sin is before a holy God and realize the love that sent the Son of God, who is God manifest in the flesh, to come down to the cross to pay the price for our sins. For God so loved the world. Everybody, God loves me, God loves me, God loves me. But a lot of times it gets so overused that people really don't understand what love really is. And you can't, I don't believe a person on this earth can understand what love really is until they deal with their sin at the cross of Calvary and truly receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. You're just not going to. I'll guarantee you this. When the Pope kissed that kid with cerebral palsy, that wasn't love. That was what we call a photo op. And they're going to push that for a long time on social media, and people will be twittering about it, and it'll be just all wonderful because the Pope is so holy, right? No. What he does is he deceives people. This has nothing to do with the labor of love. You get a chance through the work of faith to serve the living and true God. You have a God that is alive. He's alive. And when you think about it, that's really, you know, this is where faith comes in, because he's like, oh, God's alive. Well, do you feel him? Most of the time, or probably all the time? Not really. I don't see him. I have a book, you know. I can see when a Christian is working on all cylinders and serving the Lord Jesus Christ, you can see God working through your brothers and sisters in Christ. But, you know, it is. So, but he's alive. And the Son of God who came and died for us is alive. He died for our sin, was buried, rose again on the third day, and he went to heaven. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father, ready and able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. I preach that on the street all the time. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was preaching at the U and talking about the fear of God. You know, you can't understand the love of God until you actually come to a realization of the fear of God. Here drives this, I think it was a young lady on a bike. And what do you do with fear? What do you got fear? What are you doing? This is a college campus. Yeah, I guess so. they're not going to hear that. They don't hear that on the college campus. They hear just the opposite. And if anything, they might hear, God loves you. God loved them enough to die for them, and they have a chance to get in on it and serve the living and true God. You get out there, and I'll tell you this, Muhammad is a false prophet. Allah is not the God of the Bible. There is no other Savior. There is no one else. 1 John 5, verse 20 says, there is one true God, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. That's what you got. And you get a chance to serve the living and true God. This is a labor of love. I mean, serving God, it's the best thing you can do. But a lot of times, it's labor. And you're fighting with your flesh, and you're like, I don't feel like it today. You gotta go down the road and buy a shirt that, because your luggage isn't there, and a shirt that doesn't even fit good. But laboring for God it can be very difficult. It can be hard. It's not all fun and games. But I'll tell you this. It's the most fulfillment you'll have in this life. You were created for a purpose. You were created to bring pleasure to the God of the universe, and part of that is this labor of love. You get to serve the living and true God. Over here in Titus again, in verse 12, part of that is denying ungodliness, worldly lusts, and then living soberly. It's always about... In the Christian life, you can't just deny things. You can't just deny, deny, deny. You have to fill it with something. I can't just quit drinking, and then not fill that void with something else, because eventually I'll probably end up back to drinking again. I could say this. I spent many years of my life. I had the relationship I have with my father. I suppose, it might have been halfway decent at times, this and that, but what I had to deal with my father, he was, let's just say, a little nuts, okay? I didn't even know some of the things. There were certain things as I was growing up, I'm like, this is weird, that's weird, but my mom didn't tell me until I was about 13, 14, and then I started realizing that my dad was nuts. I mean, how would you like it if your father came up to you and said, I'm God the Father and you're Jesus Christ? And you're like 13, 14, you're like, wow, that's kind of neat. needless to say, at the time I started, evil communications corrupt good manners. And I ended up hanging around, of course, the wrong people. And I started, getting a little angry just about how things were going. And I started going to drinking and drugs. I started doing drugs when I was 11. I'm 12 and I'm in junior high, and a lot of times I'd go to school, just stoned out of my head. Didn't know what was going on, didn't really care. Back then, there were certain things you can get away with that you probably couldn't get away with as much now. But I'll tell you this, the best thing I ever did was receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And then I didn't just stop there. The Lord Jesus Christ, He delivered me from the drinking, the drugs, and I can't say that He delivered me from everything, because, those of you who know me, know that I'm not completely perfect. But I'll tell you this, I got in pretty soon, right away, witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ, telling my family about it. I started filling that void, and I'll tell you, by the grace of God, I don't have a desire to go back to that life right now. And by the grace of God, praise the Lord for that. But I just don't have, I don't go by a bar and say, boy, I wish I could go in the bar and have a drink. I just don't, by the grace of God. I feel, I'm busy enough as it is, and the time I do have, I like to feel it, knocking on doors or getting on the street or I'll tell you this, you've got to fill in the void. Same with, you give up bad music, put good music in there. You can't just turn away from things. You know, I can't just turn away from idolatry and then try to get to heaven on my own righteousness. I can't do that. You know, it's not good enough. I have to turn to God. I have to let God do it. And as a Christian, through the work of faith, I get a chance to have a labor of love. I get a chance because, you know what? I didn't love him. He first loved me. He showed me what love was at the cross. And now everything that we can do, anything that we do that's good, of course, comes from Jesus Christ. But anything that we do, it's we owe him. We owe him that. We owe him so much. We owe him everything. I mean, he created us. He gives us the breath. He makes the trees grow. You know, we owe him. And then he comes. He could just have wiped us out and have a bunch of robots around and people, you know, bowing down. And he doesn't want that. He wants people to choose to serve the living and the true God. It's a labor of love. Look at this back in Titus, kind of along the same lines. But in verse 14 of Titus chapter 2, it says, who gave himself for us? Jesus Christ gave himself for you. This is what you put your faith and trust in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he might redeem us from all iniquity. You know, it's a labor to turn from iniquity in your life every single day. The sad thing is that you've got so many people, this doctrine of self-esteem, and it's seeped into Bible-believing churches. It's this doctrine that I must be accepted, you know. And there is a level that, listen, you come here, whether you're young, middle-aged, or older, there is a place, listen, we should have a place of acceptance here. There are brothers and sisters in Christ, we should have fellowship and all those things. But we go further than that. It's like we can't, you know, we raised Stephanie to know that when she goes out into the world, there's going to be a lot of people that don't accept her. Who cares? You know, the Lord Jesus, listen, if you're saved, you're accepted in the beloved. And that's what you need. You know, this is a labor of love. This is why we serve. This is why we give back. I told her, for the most part, you go out and witness to people, you'll get it in the neck. You try to live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer some persecution. Fortunately, in this country, we don't suffer much. There are our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world that suffer a lot more. I just had a thought about Obama, and it just makes me twinge. You get a chance to serve the living and true God. Look at this. So, verse 14, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Listen, Jesus Christ is coming back again. He's coming back again. And another, you know what another thing about today? And I'm going to talk about it in a little bit, in the next point. But this is the day that, well, Jesus Christ was supposed to, I guess, land on the Mount Olives, at least today and tomorrow, because we have another blood red moon coming, or blood moon, blood whatever, what do you got coming. And this is the day. And actually, if it's a clear night, I think I'm going to try to go out and see it, you know. I'm not going to bow down to it or anything, but I might go look at it. But this is the fourth moon in this series of four over the last couple years that stuff was supposed to happen. One good thing, I think, that it happened, and they probably planned it this way, well, the Pope's going back to Rome, but that's a good thing. You know, go back to Rome, stay there, mind your own business. You know, get out of here. And then you got Obama repeating the same thing at the UN because he's going to replace the Pope, right? He's talking about poverty. What he's talking about is ripping off your money and giving it to Catholic countries. That's what he's talking about. I care about the poor. You know, I'm getting so sick of these people running around. Judas cared about the poor. If you really cared about the poor, your stupid communist ideology, quit preaching it. It doesn't help the poor. You know, maybe the poor should work. You know, because most of them can. You know, If they don't work, neither should they eat. You know, I'll tell you, it would take care of a lot of things. But I'm kind of going off here. I'm talking about labor in the Lord and serving the living and true God. I mean, that's a great thing. And you know what? I'm not serving the living and true God for my salvation. I'm already saved. I'm already going to heaven when I die. It doesn't matter what I did before, and it doesn't matter what I did after I received Jesus Christ my Savior. I'm going to heaven. And a lot of people, you know, when you come to their door or, you know, do other things, automatically they're thinking you're doing these things so you could get favor with God, so that, because that's how they think. And then when you tell them, well, I'm going to heaven for sure when I die. Well, who do you think you are? You think you're more righteous than me? Well, in a sense, I am more righteous than you. Because if you're not saved, you're not clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and I am. And so, yep, I am more righteous than you. Thank you very much. So, where do you think the Bible came? Who gave you the Bible? Well, how about God gave me the Bible? God gave me the Bible. I'm so sick of hearing that. You know, the Catholics, the Catholic Church gave you the Bible, so you might as well just bow down to the Catholic Church. Oh, shut up. So, but you know what? You have a chance to take part in this labor of love. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, familiar verse, and verse 58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. If you're serving the living and true God the right way, with the right motives, it's in the Lord. It's not in vain. It doesn't matter what's happening in your life. It doesn't matter the circumstances. It doesn't matter that things aren't going well. It doesn't matter that the bills, sometimes are behind. You get a chance to serve the living and true God. One of these days, if the Lord Jesus Christ tarries, you're all going to die. That's good news. You get to go to heaven if you're saved. That's so morbid. Listen, you get to get out of this stupid, stinking body. You get to quit fighting the flesh and fighting sin. You get to go be with, you get to go be with the Lord Jesus Christ. You get to see Him as He is. That is a wonderful thing. That is a wonderful thing. And it's a good thing to think about from time to time. Sometimes, of course, I forget. Back to verse 3. Verse 3 of 1 Thessalonians. Thessalonians was written, and also 2 Thessalonians was written because, the Thessalonians were they were going through some tribulation and affliction for receiving the word and doing what they were doing. I mean, look at here in verse 8, Paul says, let's read verse 6. And you became followers of us and of the Lord. Listen, if a man is following this book and following the Lord according to this book, it is okay to follow a man. The people that get on you about following a man are the ones that are upset because you're not following them. Okay? When people, get on me, oh, you follow a man. Oh, yeah, I do. They don't even know what to do. When you agree with them, they just like, well, wait, what? Huh? Well, whatever. I don't care what you say. You're a bigot. Yep, I am. Thank you. Whatever. What you say doesn't matter. What really matters is, what the Lord thinks of you. Are you pleasing the Lord? Then don't worry about it. I mean, if somebody wants to call you a bigot or for whatever because of your stand on righteousness, hey, I'm a bigot. You tag me. Oh, you're not cowing down. Well, whatever. Listen, it's labor of love, labor of love. But look at this. You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost. So they were going through it, and they're thinking, well, is the day of the Lord come? Did He already rapture the believer? Are we like split rapture? Did we get left behind and the wise virgins went or something like that? But no, so Paul writes them to kind of, root them, ground them partially in the doctrines of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, He hasn't come back yet. This is what's going to happen, and this is what's going to happen. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. No, he hasn't come back yet. This tribulation, this affliction, all this stuff you're going through, it's just normal Christian life. It's just normal life. You know, kind of like what, so I'm doing Stephanie's car. And you know, you almost feel like, so you're working on a car, and it's an older car, and stuff just breaks, and bolts break, and everything, and you're like, Lord, why are you afflicting me? Well, I'm working on a car. It happens to everybody. You know, I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh, I put the stupid donut from the catalytic converter to the exhaust manifold. I wasn't paying attention, you know, I'm not a master mechanic, and the donut was, so there's exhaust blowing out, and Steph's like, oh, my car just stinks like exhaust. Like, oh. So I had just taken it apart 2 weeks earlier, and I go out there to take it apart, and the stud breaks. Lord, what are you doing? You got to be kidding me. I just took this apart, nugget. And I tried to get a sawzall. I mean, I'm like, do I want to take this whole big pipe out? Because I'm going to have to saw that part off, too, because it's all rusted. And that's it. Every time you work, things break. It's like, what in the world? But fortunately, the Lord brought me through and it was a labor of love is what it was. You know? So I hate working on cars. I just do it because sometimes I just have to. And that time I had to because Stephanie happens to have me wrapped around her pinky finger, and that's just the way it is. So, but, I mean, look at this. Look at these Thessalonians. It says in verse 7, so that you were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. I mean, this work of faith, this labor of love, this patience of hope, they were in samples. Paul was saying, the way you're living out your Christian life is something that the people in Macedonia and Achaia can copy exactly. They could take what you're doing and do the same thing, and they'll be, you know, growing in the knowledge and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. They didn't need to tell anybody, wow, these guys are Christians. And they didn't need to go up to Thessalonians, hey, man, you know, you need to start speaking up for the Lord. They didn't have to say anything. Because the Thessalonians, they were sounding out. Everywhere they went, they were preaching. And because of that, well, they got tribulation and affliction. That's just what happens. And Peter writes, hey, be happy. You know, it's kind of like that happy face. Be happy. You're being burnt at the stake, you know. So these guys, they were witnessing. It was a labor of love. They were telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. They were telling about his second coming. They were telling about what he did for them. And that's what we should be about in the Christian life. You need that. It has to flow from that work of faith. And you have to be laboring. And it can't be just laboring just to labor. Sometimes over time, over the years, you know, it gets old. Sometimes you say, well, you know, you can kind of, well, why am I the only one? You know, listen, you're laboring for the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if you're the only one that shows up or if you're one of 20 that show up. You're still doing it for the Lord Jesus. It's a labor of love. You get a chance to serve the living and the true God. You get a chance to turn away from the iniquity in your lives that Jesus Christ redeemed you from. You get a chance to do that. If you're lost, you don't get those chances. You don't get that. Here in verse 3, Paul writes, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. This patience of hope is over here in verse 10, and to wait for his Son from heaven. Listen, if you are starting with this work of faith and you have a labor of love and you are waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to come with patience, I'm telling you, if you're doing those three things and that'll keep you busy enough, you know, and all that encompasses that with prayer and Bible reading. Listen, if we're spending time in prayer with our Savior, we're going to want to see him. We want to see him not just to get out of here, and I do want to get out of here, but you want to see him. In Romans chapter 8, it says, In verse 24, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? And this hope is a hope that not I hope so hope. It is a sure hope. And of course, this hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our blessed hope. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. The patience of hope. Do you know how many Christians are moving away from the imminent pre-tribulational return of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because they're just giving up. Well, it should have happened by now. Well, have patience, the patience of hope. It takes patience. You know, he's coming. He is coming. How do I know that? Not because a moon turns red, you know. And I don't even know where it says blood red moon in the Bible. What a mess that is. What a mess that is. Because you know what? There are Bible believers out there that are getting into this blood red moon stuff. And, oh, who's the other guy? Oh, the Harbinger. He came out with that a few years ago. And 9/11, Isaiah 9/11 and all that. Part of the problem with these people is they're part of a movement, and loosely in some ways, but the Hebrew roots movement, or basically wanting to go back. See, in order to really be right with the Lord and close with the Lord and near the Lord, you've got to celebrate the Jewish feasts. Don't eat pork. And, well, then you get... And I talked to a lady. Jeff had met her on the street. And I was emailing her back and forth. And, you know, this is something. This is really deep. But if you get this one thing down, you can build upon it. The church is not Israel, and Israel is not the church. Wow. I mean... You know how many people are messed up because they don't get that down? And there's people running around saying, we need to keep the Sabbath, and we need to keep the Passover. And I told her, I said, you have never kept the Passover. Ever. No Jew has for about 2,000 years, because you got to kill the lamb in the place where God said to kill it, and you guys aren't doing that. So you're not keeping the Passover. As a matter of fact, you're not keeping any of them. You know? What's interesting about these blood red moon things, and this is where it comes from. The guy who wrote, or one of the guys who wrote a book about it, is part of this Hebrew roots movement. There's another guy that kind of pushes it, and, you know, there's some good information, but WorldNet Daily, you know, the guy who runs that site is part of the Hebrew roots movement and pushes this stuff. And so, listen, the conservative news sites, you know, you got to watch out for them, because they have, you know, news that you may not get in the mainstream media. But you're going to get caught up into, you know, some of these guys are post-millennialists, reconstructionists, they're Hebrew roots people, you know, or root people. you know, it's like, listen, you're a Christian. If you want to, like, you know, hold a Passover Seder ceremony and kind of, you know, learn some things from it, more power to you. But you're not going to get closer to God just because you supposedly celebrated a Passover or not eating pork, you know. Go ahead and eat pork. You can eat whatever you want to eat if it doesn't, you know, hurt your tummy. Jesus Christ is coming back, and it has nothing to do with these stupid blood red moon things. A lot of 40%, and they call them tetrads, where, you know, there's four of these eclipses. You know what bugs me is some of these people, they sit there and talk about, well, when it was dark at the time of the crucifixion, well, that's an eclipse. Are you serious? I didn't see that in the Bible. This is an idea from, you know, unbelieving people. It's called supernatural darkness is what happened. When these blood red moons are supposed to happen, of course, this is second coming passages, and the sun's supposed to be dark. You know, the sun goes dark, the moon goes, you know, red and all this other stuff, and... Listen, it has nothing to do with now, with, you know, happen to, okay, so sometimes they fall on Jewish feast days and sometimes they don't. You know, 40% of the time that these tetrads have shown up, they haven't shown up on Jewish feast days. And a lot of times that they do is because the Jews happen to follow a lunar cycle in their calendar and in their everything. And so the chances of having this show up as a full moon on one of their feast days is pretty good. And it means nothing. A lot of times that these showed up when, I've never read the book, I've just read some commentaries on it because I don't have time to read the garbage. But because it's just, you know, I could read a couple of words here, word there, they go, these are stupid, and then throw it. A lot of times that these supposed blood red moons, these tetrads have happened, they happen after the fact. Like he talks about, well, the Inquisition and the persecution against the Jews. Well, back in the 1400s, it happened actually after the fact that they're talking. The independence of Israel, 1948, well, the tetrads happened in 49 and 50. What is that? Hey, we're, you know, something's happening. That's kind of nice. And the same thing happened with the Israel getting the old city of Jerusalem. It happened after the fact, you know. Oh, wow. I mean, it didn't even happen, like, right before, like, as a warning that this is going to happen or happen right at the time. Look, there are too many people out there that, you know, are getting off on all this stuff because they're not patiently waiting for the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's just the patience of hope. Jesus Christ is coming back. How do I know that? Because the Bible says so. The Bible says so. That's how I know it. And I don't need to get into all this other stuff and get mixed up in this stuff. You know, I do like eating pork. I don't eat it a lot because, you know, sometimes it hurts my tummy. Okay? But you guys go ahead and eat pork and lobster and all this stuff because it doesn't matter what you eat. You're not going to get right with God or get near to God because you didn't eat bacon this morning. I mean, it's just, it doesn't happen that way. But Jesus Christ is coming back. Be patient. He's coming. Don't, you know, he could come tonight. But part of me believes that he wouldn't because it's on the blood red moon, and why would he validate? It's kind of like the Mayan calendar thing. I was knocking on a door once, this is a couple years back, and so what do you think about the Mayan calendar? Well, I think that the world is not going to end because God is not going to, God doesn't care about the Mayan calendar. That's what I think, you know. Harold Camping and his, you know, well, Jesus Christ is going to return in May. Well, oh, well, he's going to return in October. Well, you know, now I'm dead. Now he knows the truth, you know. But listen, just it's coming. Jesus Christ is going to come. He may come today. He may come tomorrow. But he is coming. And he is coming before the tribulation. And he is coming before the millennium. And there will be a 1,000-year reign that Jesus Christ sits on that. He's coming. Just be patient. Just be patient. Looking for that blessed hope. And I'm saying we're looking for the blessed hope. It isn't, the blessed hope is Jesus Christ. That's who we're looking for. That's who we're looking for. Be patient. Look at this in 1 Timothy chapter 6. I think this is interesting. But it says in verse 8, having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love. Look at this. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, and then faith, love, and patience. The work of faith, the labor of love, and the patience of hope. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good... Listen, spend the time realizing that you have eternal life inside of you. It's not going anywhere. And lay a hold on it. Lay a hold on it. It says, and it has professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God who quickeneth all things and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. So you fight the good fight of faith, the work of faith, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, the labor of love until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, the patience of hope. This is kind of all throughout Scripture. It's a work of faith, a labor of love, a patience of hope. And you can see this throughout as I was looking through in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, He has not appointed us to wrath. He didn't appoint us to go through the tribulation, but He appointed us to basically, we're the body of Christ, we're out of here. You know, the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a breastplate, not only a faith like in Ephesians, but it's faith and love. Faith and love. You need that. You need that. It's all throughout Scripture. The work of faith, the labor of love, the patience of hope. In Philemon 5, it says, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Love and faith, and the Lord Jesus, listen, it's toward the Lord Jesus. And I'll guarantee you that through that, they are waiting and hoping for the appearing. I mean, they're waiting to see their Savior. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, if you, it says here, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also that love His appearing. Listen, you not only have to have, you know, you not only have to look forward to it, you have to love His appearing, and you get a crown of righteousness. That's good news. And then we'll end here, Revelation chapter 2. These things are interconnected. You know, it's and to have a sound Christian walk, you need this threefold combo, the work of faith, the labor of love, and the patience of hope working together and being interconnected. In Revelation chapter 2, Jesus talks to the Ephesian church, the first church here, and He says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience. And He tells them too, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Well, I can't bear the Pope. He's just an evil man. Oh, but he's so nice and he loves the poor. Whatever. You know, you're going to fall for the photo op with the cerebral palsy kid. He kissed the cerebral palsy kid. No, but look at this. Look at this. He says, I know thy works, I know thy labor, I know thy patience, but here in verse 4, nevertheless I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Love has to be interconnected with all of these, with faith, with the labor, with the patience of hope, with the you got love, loving His appearing, you know. Not just loving to get out of here, but loving His appearing, you know. And if you can do these three things and work on these three things, and I'll tell you, you're going to draw closer to the Lord. You're going to have a stronger Christian walk. And you'll be a better Christian all the way around. A work of faith, a labor of love, and a patience of hope. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your book and what you show us through it. And I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to walk with thee, to walk in the Spirit, to let you work through us. I pray that you'd help us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And I pray that our walk with thee would be pleasing in thy sight. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Let's go to 3:14.
I am mine, O Lord, I am thine.
Andrew, can you pray for us?